This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a nonprofit with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Change menus, change lives. Learn more at chefscollaborative.org.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
I guess it's not morning, it's afternoon. This is The Main Course without Patrick Martins. My name is Philip Gilmore. I am in studio today with Chef Michael Lewis of Yo Sushi. What's up, man?
Hey, how are you?
Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
First off the bat, there's this man sitting in the room with us. He looks to be, I think, like an ex-KGB kind of bodyguard. Do you travel with a bodyguard?
He's my security.
Is he your security? Is that how important you are? Very good-looking man, though. You have excellent taste in bodyguards.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who is he?
This is Alex, who's our marketing team.
Okay, cool. Hi, Alex. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thanks
for having me. So for those of you who don't know, Chef Michael Lewis is a executive chef for Yo Sushi. And today actually is the first, the main course has been on air for I think like 7 or 8 years. And it was the flagship show and I took it over about 2 years ago. But I think this is the first time we're doing the Facebook Live thing. So welcome for that. And for those of you listening, if you go to Facebook Live, we actually have a sushi conveyor belt in studio. So what is it called?
So this is a Kaizen conveyor belt, and Kaizen conveyor belts are, they move around with the food on. Mm-hmm. So in a Yo Sushi, it's the heart of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. The one in our new restaurant in Manhattan is 100 feet long. Mm-hmm. It has 350 plates. Mm-hmm. And it just means that the food's on display in front of all the customers. Mm-hmm. So the food goes around on the color-coded plates, and guests can just help themselves off, and we count all the empty plates.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to, I think, is there a conveyor belt sushi place in New York City right now?
I've been told not at the moment, no.
Not at the moment, because I can kind of consider it, compare it to like the, you know, the dim sum places in Chinatown. You go and they have the carts and you just grab what you want and at the end they count the plates up.
Yeah, similar style.
Yeah, awesome. So the one in front of us is what, about 5 feet?
Yeah, 2 meters. I do 2 meters.
Yeah, 2 meters. So what is, so would you use this for anything?
Well, this is just our event.
So we
can host parties and we can do events. Yeah.
Yes. So Monk conveyors.
Yeah, they're our specialist builders because they're always bespoke for every Yo Sushi.
Yeah. So you're from. So let's go backwards in time, Michael Lewis. You're from Liverpool.
Originally Liverpool, yeah.
They have some sort of sports team over there, right?
Yeah, I think they're red.
Yeah, they're red. Yeah, the red. The Liverpool Communists,
of course.
Yes. How long have you been away from Liverpool?
I moved out at 16. Mm-hmm. Worked abroad, and then
where'd you work?
I worked in Spain, in South Spain, and
South. Marbella, Malaga.
No, it's Let us tea, mm-hmm. But it was on the cost, one of the Costa Bravas, mm-hmm. but in the hills. So just learned a bit of Spanish food, then went back to Manchester in the UK, mm-hmm. And started working in Asian restaurants, Southeast Asian, with Thai and Korean and a little bit of Japanese. And then 15 years ago, Yo Sushi called me and said, do I want to join their team for their first restaurant outside of London? And at the time, Yo Sushi only had 7 restaurants in the UK. Mm-hmm. So I joined the team, haven't looked back, fell in love with the food, mm-hmm. the ingredients, the skill, and then opened. Now we have 71 restaurants in the UK.
Nice. And how many worldwide?
Around 97 at the moment.
And are they in Japan?
We're not in Japan. We're in the Middle East. We're in the Middle East and Europe.
We're in the Middle East.
Dubai and Saudi Arabia.
And did you help with those restaurants?
Yeah, I've opened
nearly all of them. Wow, so. That must have been a trip, huh?
Oh, it's fun to see the teams grow and then to open them in different locations.
You know, I've actually, I own Momo Sushi Shack next door, and I've been in the Japanese world for about, I guess, 9 years now. And nothing's ever happened from it. Like, we had a pop-up for a year at the Mondrian Hotel in South Beach, and we've done pop-ups, you know, outside of the city and stuff. But I've actually talked to people about doing stuff outside of the United States. Like, you know, nothing's ever happened from just very loose conversations. Mm-hmm. Hey, would you ever think about? And it's anywhere from the Middle East to Africa to, like, you know, Southeast Asia. But the thing is with, like the Middle East, I've always thought about how do you get your ingredients over there. I guess with you guys have such a large corporation that you buy things in bulk and you just ship it, or...
Yeah, I mean, it's always difficult. When we first started in the Middle East, then it was harder to get. So it was just getting fresh fish in. So we had to arrange it ourselves.
Well, the fish, I didn't even like. I figured the fish you could probably somehow cheat and get fish from the Middle East, but things like sushi rice or soy sauce,
had to import our own because of the choice they had there wasn't great.
But even somewhere like Dubai. Is there not enough like Asian restaurants that would necessitate having a Japanese food distributor there or no?
Now there is. There's plenty of you can get everything in Dubai now.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously alcohol free, but you can pretty much there's a huge selection of products.
Yeah.
Years back it was much harder.
Yeah.
But now there's so many Japanese restaurants as well in Dubai.
Yeah.
It's a huge.
How long ago did you open up?
The first one was probably around 10 years ago.
Oh wow.
So we've been there quite a while.
Wow. Anyway. Cool, man. So, what else, man?
I mean, Yo Sushi is all about variety. Uh-huh. I mean, what makes us slightly different is we've got the Kaiten and the conveyor belt. And that's what makes it fun for guests. So they're able to choose their own food.
Mm-hmm.
The menu's on display. You want street food as well. So we've got the fresh, healthy sushi. And we've also got some Japanese street food. So things like the izakaya kind of dishes. Mm-hmm. So izakaya is the Japanese sake bar mm-hmm. that you know. And we've got things like yakitori's on there, katsu sandos, takoyaki's, mm-hmm. Katsu curry, yakisoba noodles.
Nice.
We've got a huge variety. And then in Manhattan, we've got 30 exclusive dishes. So just because Manhattan is where the innovation's happening, it's mm-hmm. a food revolution going on. It's like the hottest place for food at the moment. So we've brought those exclusive dishes purely for
food. Is that Mentaiko?
No, it's actually spicy tuna.
Oh, really? Oh,
it looks a little bit like Mentaiko.
Right?
So on here we've got, on the actual conveyor belt here in front of you, we've got some Abori sushi, which are exclusive. Mm-hmm. So the seared. We've got the katsu sando, and we've got some nori taco. So instead of the tamaki hand roll mm-hmm. With the nori, we've actually tempura'd the nori and turned it into a little taco so it's crispy. And then we've got spicy tuna, yuzu salmon in there, avocados. Wow.
Nice.
So we're trying to sort of... offer a huge variety of Japanese food from all over Japan, different regions, mm-hmm. different cooking methods from, from high-end sort of the Abori style to the street food with the yakitoris to home style food and also things like kakigori dessert, which is the shaved ice dessert.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what kids kind of made at home when they were growing up. And so we've got a machine to do that in the restaurant.
Amazing.
And so in the summer, that should be really popular, like the snow cone kind of style.
Yeah. So I've always wondered because I've actually honestly enough I've never eaten it at the conveyor belt. So things like the sushi, what is the shelf life on it? Do you have to like mark things?
Yeah, so we mark all the lids. So we have 1 hour on the sushi itself.
Oh, awesome.
On the raw fish is all 1 hour.
Yeah,
and it's rotated and. We've been doing this for 20 years now. Yeah.
You've got it down to a science, literally.
Yeah, we know exactly how to manage the conveyor belt. The other dishes may be up there on there for up to 3 hours, but you know, again, we know what to make, when to make it, how to rotate it.
And if for those of you listening, if 1 hour of sushi sitting out sounds bad, next time you go to your grocery store and you look at the sushi section, look at when it was made.
Yeah.
It's one of my hobbies. Like they have to put the date on it in New York, and sometimes I'll look and it'll be like. Oh wait, it's the 15th today, and that says 11.
Yeah, if there's a date on it, you need to be worried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Awesome, man. So when is the opening date of Yo?
So we're actually opening tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock. We've been really busy getting ready, training the teams, practicing. We've just finished some dry runs,
mm-hmm.
And so tomorrow morning. It's going to be a nice busy day for us, and uh-huh. then doors open at 11 o'clock.
So, where is it located?
So it's located at Flatiron District.
Flatiron.
So literally right next to Italy at Flatiron. So yeah, 23rd and 5th, number 23. It's a stone's throw from Flatiron. So it's the heart in the district. And it's we have takeout as well. So we've got a huge takeout selection.
And how many people does it seat again?
We've got around a 44-cover restaurant. And then we've got the takeaway zone. So we have bento boxes, the sushi boxes. We have hot food as well to grab and go.
Great.
And then in the restaurant itself, we've got the 80 dishes, that huge variety, and vegan dishes. A quarter of our menu is vegetarian even.
Yeah.
We've got those hot street food dishes as well, which is almost half the menu. And then we've got an extensive drinks menu as well with some Japanese craft beers. We've got lots of different sakes, one-cup sakes, Japanese cocktails like yuzu margaritas.
Are you familiar with the sake menu really well?
Not as much. Oh, we got a special sake barista to help us develop some.
I'm a total sake nerd, so I can.
We've got some really nice sakes I've seen, and I've tasted a few.
Nice, awesome. The Flatiron District. It was so funny when you were saying that. You said the Flatiron District. So just to let you know, I've been in New York for 17 years. But how long have you been in New York?
This time about 12 days.
12 days. Yeah. So you know, there's all these little neighborhoods. So basically, you know where Houston Street is. Houston. It's kind of like where First Avenue or First Street and First Avenue starts. That's Houston. So basically everything from First Street to Central Park, I just call that Midtown.
Yeah, Midtown.
We're
Midtown.
Literally within that area that I call Midtown, there's probably 17 neighborhoods, but I just there's Central Park and First Street, and then everything is between is Midtown. It's
up and south.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, East Side, West Side, Midtown.
Well, we can see the Flatiron from our restaurant.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I know.
Yeah. So tomorrow will be easy, and then what's next?
Well, then we've got the weekend, and then we'll start introducing delivery for our customers, and then
are you doing your own delivery, or are you using apps?
We'll be using apps.
Which apps?
I think we're using Uber Eats, and we will be using the
Seamless and Grubhub.
That's it, Seamless. Yeah,
yeah.
Grubhub. Yeah,
yeah. We just started doing delivery about a month ago. And are you using your own delivery drivers or theirs?
I think we'll be using theirs.
Yeah, that's the kind of easiest, I think. But it's insane. There's 15 different options now. There's Amazon Prime is doing delivery, and all these.
Yeah, we've just started it in the UK as well. Yeah. So it's going really well.
You should think about Caviar too. Caviar and Postmates are kind of the more exclusive ones, but people. Right, okay. It's kind of for rich people because the delivery charge is sometimes 10 or 12 bucks, but they don't care. So it's for people that's outside of the area of normal.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we'll be looking at all of them to see if we can get it.
Yeah. Awesome, man.
Very good.
So that's interesting that you say a large portion of your food is vegetarian, because that's actually my restaurant too. Not to keep on going back to my restaurant, but I just use this radio show to promote my own restaurant. So
why not?
yeah. I just have the guests on. So that's really interesting. So more about me, Michael. But I'm really obsessed. I would say probably about 25% of my menu is actually vegetarian or vegan, but I really like playing with that because first of all, in New York you have a very very large clientele that's vegan or vegetarian, but also too everybody associates Japanese food with pork ramen or fried chicken or sushi or Kobe beef and all this stuff, and the irony is it's half of the cuisine is vegan
and that's why we're trying to celebrate all types of cuisine, and vegan and vegetarian is huge in Japan, which people just don't.
It was 1,000 years ago too. With all the pickles
and the monks where they'll only be vegan. It's a huge part of it, our menu. Yeah. And we've got a huge following in the UK and across the world as well for the vegan and vegetarian.
Well, you know what's so funny too, though, is you go to a restaurant and you order a $150 steak. And you're like, oh my God, listen, they put some salt and pepper on it and they just went, and they set a timer for, 2 minutes and 15 seconds. And they turned it over, or they even do the fancy grill marks. And then they put it on a plate and they serve it to you. And you're like, oh my God, they didn't fucking do anything. They just, they got really good beef, and then they put salt and pepper on it, and then they if you make a vegan dish good, it needs work, and it needs brains, and if it's done properly,
and actually in our top 10 dishes we've got five vegetarian dishes in there.
So, what's the number one selling thing?
One of the top ones is the queso salad, which I've got here, which is just a marinated seaweed salad with a sumiso dressing. But it's so popular that meat eaters also eat it. Plus, we have other items as well.
And it's like, is it wakame and is it hijiki? Yeah.
Well, it's kind of similar to that.
Oh, awesome! Yeah.
So all pre-marinated.
Nice,
but it's a texture, and it was a surprise dish that it's actually so popular. But you know, customers literally are buying it that don't usually veer towards the vegetarian dishes.
We do a lot of omakase at Momo, and we kind of do our own omakase. You know, normally omakase is mostly sushi, but only about half our menu is sushi. So when I do omakase, though, I literally in my mind I divide it into thirds, and the first third is just all vegan stuff, whether they like it or not.
That's nice. Yeah. No, yeah, but kinda, if it's tasty enough, people will enjoy it.
Yeah. Sometimes people kind of complain. I'm like, listen, I'm going to give you so much sushi and so much meat, and this is going to help all of that go down.
Yeah. And it's also not always cheaper to do vegan, the amount of the product and then the work that goes into it.
I hate when I go to like an Italian restaurant and they have like a vegetarian section and it's just like ratatouille prepared four different ways, you know?
Some pasta.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, man. So, what else, man?
No, I mean, we're just to let you know, kids love it. Yeah. I mean, we've got a huge following of families. Kids get to come in. You've got food moving around on colorful little plates here.
So much fun.
They get to be an adult for the day. We don't shove a kid's menu in, to a kid. They actually become the adult. They can help themselves.
Choose themselves.
And it's, they have no fear as well. So, that, they don't know, in a way, what raw salmon is or raw tuna. They just know it looks good, they want to taste it.
I think you're going to be very surprised, though. I think they New York, not to, I'm a New Yorker, so it's not a pissing contest, but it's really amazing how savvy your clientele is, but it's also the children. Like, especially you're gonna have the tourists, which they don't count, but as far as like New Yorker children, they are. I have kids, we're kind of a family restaurant too. We're kind of known for being open and welcoming to families and especially children, but I don't even know how many kids that I know that come to my restaurant that love uni. That had it there for the first time, and then they're just like, I want to go get uni. Yeah. So they're like,
they like it.
But sometimes the little kids, it's like they want to try the things that like
people they've heard of.
They don't, I do too like that.
Like their parents.
Yeah. Can you tell me the different prices for the colors?
Yeah. So we start off at $350.
Oh, can I have a menu?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Here we go.
Oh, there's the sake.
There's the sake. Yeah.
Desai 50. Yes. Nice. Very cool, man.
Yeah, so the colors. $3.50 for green, $4 blue. Cool. It goes through to $8. And then we have big ramen. And we're also going to introduce some platter plates as well. So the ramens there are $10.
So I guess I can show you on Facebook Live. See, ta-da, here's a menu. So the menu kind of has a few pictures, but then each corresponding dish has a dot next to it, and that dot is the color of the plates.
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
And so you just help yourself off the conveyor belt, and we just count all the empties at the end.
Yeah,
so.
And then how does this work? So I really want some ikura, but I don't see any ikura come around. Is there a waitress that comes over that I can order the ikura from?
Yeah, we have service like normal restaurants, but we also have call buttons. So you can press the call button almost like an airplane, then we'll come running over. You can order directly to the chefs if you're sitting around the kitchen as well, so we'll do it.
And then the ikura, if I ordered that with my waitress, she would bring it to me.
She'll bring it to you, yeah. She'll bring it directly, awesome. Or we will.
My business partner Makoto Suzuki was saying that he heard of a new place in Japan that's doing the conveyor belt, but it's like, okay, so me and Michael are sitting, Chef Michael Lewis are sitting together, and there's a conveyor belt, but the conveyor belt has doors, so we have a touch screen in front of us, so we order, we go boom 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 boom, I'm getting the uni, you're getting the toro, boom boom boom, getting the curry, blah blah blah, and then everything comes, and then you can't open the box in front of you unless it's yours, and then you open the box, the little door, and then take your plates out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this, except that you actually order everything, and then the box comes to you on the conveyor belt.
Yeah, we actually have that in Oxford in the UK.
Oh, do you really?
So a Shinkansen. So above the conveyor belt, we actually have the Shinkansen train that delivers the hot food.
Well, somebody in Japan stole your idea.
Well, yes, they did.
Yeah. So let's see here. I'm gonna read you guys the cocktails to get you all psyched. We've got a yuzu margarita, delicious. A matcha gimlet. Wow, that sounds great, actually.
Yeah, a bit of dry gin.
Nice. Yeah. Sparkling yuzu. Ooh, Saint Germain and yuzu sake. Great.
Mm.
Shiso mojito. Classic. That's actually our sister restaurant, my business partner, Makoto Suzuki's restaurant, Bozu, which is kind of like, you know, the original one of his restaurant empire. That's the number one selling thing on his menu is the shiso mojito.
Right. Great.
Yeah. They do them frozen, too.
Okay. I'll have nice. A look at that.
Let's see the beers. We got a nice Ichigo. Love yeah. Ichigo. Got Asahi, Hitachino White.
Yeah, Sapporo. And we're also looking at some more craft beers, and we'll rotate them around, some guest beers nice. Coming through.
Nice. Hitachino for $12. That's a very fair price.
We're trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're trying. And actually, the cocktails are $12, too.
Yep.
Very, very, very reasonable. Yeah.
It's a great environment for that evening meal as
Calpico.
Well. Calpico, yeah. Yeah. Carbonated milk.
Yeah. I don't know if this is true. I've never actually Googled it because I want it to be true, but maybe you can tell me. Do you know what it's called in Japan? Kalpis?
Oh, Kalpis, yeah.
But they changed the name for the American market. It sounds like Kalpis.
I don't think it's the strongest name.
Yeah.
In the-
yeah. Nice.
But we've got the Ramune sodas as well, the marble sodas that everyone loves.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, there's like a little marble and you press and it goes into the bottle. Nice. Oh, and also, too, I'm just getting you prepared for the shit show of your next week. But Kiki Sui right now is the hottest sake in New York City.
All right.
And you guys have the...
The one cup.
Though. Oh, yeah, but it's the yellow one. It's the yellow can. Yeah, the Honjozo.
Okay.
The Nama Honjozo. But that's actually, sake... I've been in sake for about 10 years, and there's never been one that's really like, whoa, this is everybody's favorite sake, you know, but that's like really hot right now just because of the packaging. Everybody loves the cans. And
right. I think sake is perfect because it complements all the types of sushi and Japanese food
and the fact
you can drink it with beer. Yeah
that one. Right, one. That right now is like one of the best-selling sakes in New York City.
Good job. It's on our menu.
Yeah, exactly. Got
and,
a picture.
And cheap.
Yeah. Let's see. How much are you selling for? $12. That's exactly perfect. Yeah.
Perfect. Very good.
I actually only sell it for $11, but my rent is only a month, so, so I just motioned to him when our rent is. Let's take a little break, and now we'll come back and we'll talk more with Chef Michael Lewis of Yo Sushi.
This program is brought to you by Chefs Collaborative, a national nonprofit network with a mission to inspire, educate, and celebrate chefs and food professionals building a better food system. Chefs Collaborative members work to make sustainable practices second nature for every chef in the United States. Chefs Collaborative was founded in 1993 by visionary chefs including Rick Bayless and Alice Waters, who acknowledged the influential role of food professionals on our food choices, our collective personal health, the vitality of cultures, and the integrity of the global environment. Chefs Collaborative believes that the greater culinary community can be a catalyst for positive change by expanding the market for good food and helping to preserve local farming and fishing communities. Change menus, change lives. Learn more about Chefs Collaborative at chefscollaborative.org.
Welcome back to The Main Course without Patrick Martins. I'm Philip Gilmore in studio with Chef Michael Lewis of Yo Sushi. So Momosite's about maybe like 50 people. And then we segregate kind of for mostly Fridays and Saturdays. And then most nights we were on a wait. And we have a little table up front where people can, you know, wait and have a drink. So.
That's nice.
Yeah. If you have time, I'd like to walk you over there.
I don't know if you have time for a snack or not.
I'm actually looking at this one, and that's actually a dish. If you only had one dish next door, we're doing takoyaki.
I read a corn dog one.
Yeah.
Is this it? Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. The way I describe it here, I'll pretend like you're a customer. Like, so what's the deal? So basically, my understanding, there's two types of takoyaki. There's the one, you know, the ones you can buy and you fry them yourself.
Yep.
You know, those are fine. Mm-hmm. And then there's the ones they make in front of you.
Yep.
So the problem with both of the minutes, it's always a little tiny piece of octopus, and it's always
just
for rubbery.
That, yeah,
and
just for that chew. No flavor. Just
why
chew.
Does it have to be rubbery? So we kind of braise it in the style of España. We actually do like, you know, like a braised, you know, just braised octopus. Like, so it's a big fat piece. But from there on out, it's all of the same ingredients as takoyaki. The batter, the sauce, you know, everything is the same. It's all the ingredients of takoyaki, but just different. But then that first bite, since we deep fry it, it's like really almost donut-y. Mm-hmm. And then that first bite of octopus is just melts in your mouth. So it
sounds, I might be heading next door before I head home.
And then also speaking of mentaiko, we do a mentaiko ramen, which is great. Right. So we just take mentaiko, a little bit of butter and cream, and then fresh cooked ramen noodles, and then uni on top, which
sounds good as well.
Do I get to taste something?
Of course, it's all for you.
Okay, let's see. I'll take.
I didn't bring the whole menu. We do have 90 dishes.
I would like the shrimp gyoza, and then also I'm going to get the yuzu tsukune ramen. And
yeah, tomorrow we've got some sushi here.
Can I have the red plate?
Right, that's not on my list.
Oh no, right there. What is that? Is that scallop?
Oh, this one is hamachi.
Ooh.
So we've got hamachi here with yuzukoshu mayo, jalapeno, and then roast onion oil.
And I think that is actually micro amaranth.
It is.
Yeah.
For a bit of color.
Here, I won't be greedy. I'll give one piece back.
Thank you. And that's one of our arbori. These are the exclusive dishes just for New York.
Oh, that's a seared, yeah.
Mm. Yeah. We also have the tacos here as well. They're just coming around.
Oh.
So we've got a spicy tuna.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. And this is a yuzu and salmon one. So we have...
Oh, that looks awesome.
So the taco shell, so nori that's been tempura'd. We have the sushi rice, some yuzu salsa in there. We also have the fresh Faroe Island salmon, some spicy mayo, and then yuzu tobiko.
Nice. Can you just talk for like a minute?
Yeah, of course. We also have things like the katsu sando. And so the inspiration for all these dishes were from a big intensive research trip to Japan. And I just traveled across the whole of Japan. So whether it was going to Osaka, to Nagoya, to Nagano, to meet the miso producers, Kyoto for the sake, Hiroshima, Kobe for the beef. And so just from train stations to people's homes, through to high-end restaurants, to the street food, the yakitori stores, the memory lanes, and just trying to get some idea and some innovation, inspiration for the menu. So we've brought some of the best of those dishes, made them yos, and so we have around 35 of these. So another one is the katsu sando. So, you know, you get to the train station in Tokyo, before you get on the Shinkansen bullet train, grab a katsu sando. Normally it's pork, ours is with chicken. And so it's a deep fried in Japanese breadcrumbs, a chicken fry with Japanese mustard, a fruity tonkatsu sauce, and then the crustless white bread. And that should be hugely popular. We've just done a couple of dry runs, and it was one of our highest selling dishes the other day during the dry runs.
I think this will be popular because it's almost like I think they probably have it in. Oh yeah, of course they do in England, where you cut the crust off. It looks like a sandwich.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, but it's not so popular. But it's people.
No, but we can't. It's like a.
Thing. Oh yeah, like fingers.
Yeah. Well,
one likes crust.
Yeah, nobody likes crust. I love crust though.
We've got some lots of other dishes on there. So the Sukuni's exclusive, which is again one of my favorite dishes from going down Shinbashi. To the on a Friday night with all the workers having a beer in the yakitori alley, and then just having the skewers and all versions minced chicken. It has some white miso in there, some shiso leaf as well. Then we've got the glaze, the teriyaki glaze with chichimi powder. So there's a huge sort of variety on there with lots of these exclusive dishes. Also the kushikatsus. So kushikatsu is the sort of skewered.
Wow.
Items and kushikatsu restaurants all over Japan, famous in Osaka. It's their sort of one of their famous types of food, just like the
almost like tempura on a stick, almost.
Yeah, in the breadcrumbs, and it's one of those things to share. We've got no double dip sauce as a nice little reference to those restaurants that you're not allowed to double dip. It's a communal sauce, never go back twice.
Yeah.
So we've got this sort of vast sort of spread of Japanese foods from all over, including the ramens. We've got a lovely soba, vegetarian soba, with a really nice sort of deep shiitake and kombu broth as well, wow, with kakiyagi. And then we've, the ramen here as well. And we're doing a shiso yuzu broth. Instead of that pork rich, the deep pork broth, mm-hmm, we're doing a nice, light, healthy yuzu broth with yuzu oil there to cling onto the ramen noodles
as
well.
And the dashi, the base of it? Or?
It's a dashi, yeah, with lots of kombu as well, with the yuzu oil.
Wow. Yeah, the menu, it's like kind of like something for everybody. It's awesome.
Yeah, we try to bring the best from Japan, from all over. And we cater for everyone as well. So whether it's gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian, mm-hmm, any kind of allergens, we can help. And, if you're a first timer for sushi or Japanese food, we can help you through the menu. There's dishes for everyone, really.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's go backwards in time. How was Spain?
That's good. It's a learning.
I don't really advertise this, but I think my favorite food in the world is Spanish food. Like northern Spanish. Oh, all the seafood. But yeah.
I like the fact it's all fresh and the fish, the seafood. Yeah. It's a nice cuisine. And that sort of almost took me to Japanese because of the same. So the quality of the ingredients, the fish, mm-hmm, the work, the skill that's involved.
Well, they have very similar kind of, the freshness and the presentation.
It's getting the best ingredients to start with, and that's what's important. That's Japanese food's the same. It's always the best ingredients that go in at the beginning. You don't try to change it too much. Mm-hmm. You just display it. You enhance it. Yeah. You don't try and modify it too much.
So was there something? So when's the last time you were in Japan?
I actually just went in the fall, so just before Christmas. I'm off next month as well. And it is just to sort of get inspiration, but also to meet my producers, my manufacturers, and go and actually see where the products are from. Mm-hmm. So I'll go to Nagano to the miso manufacturers, and Kyoto to the sake breweries, and actually go around to make sure we know where our product's from, so we can trust where it's from. And then get a bit of inspiration as well for the next menu.
Have you ever been in a situation where somebody offered you something that was so odd that you didn't enjoy?
That I didn't enjoy?
Yeah, have you ever had an experience where you've tried something that was so, that didn't sit well with you?
I've had plenty. I'm one of those people that would just try everything. So it's if it's weird or someone's eating it, I want to eat it. Yeah. So there were some things like chicken sashimi was odd the first time I went, and as a chef it's kind of goes all against everything that I've sort of learned, so it was kind of one of those dishes,
especially like, as a child in Liverpool.
Yeah, it's like no raw Liverpool chicken, but just raw chicken in general, you've got to be so careful with it. And then in Japan it's like, here, chicken sashimi, and I'll try it because everyone else will try it. And actually it's one of my favorite dishes now, so every time I go back I make sure I go and have it. But things like shirako, which was cod sperm, I think that was one of the first things I had as well when I went to Japan years, like 10 years ago. That was
in America
unusual.
We call it milt.
Milt, yeah. So that was harder to have. But then anything from fugu right the way through to horse sashimi, you name it, I'll have it.
What other types of sperm have you tried, sir?
just milk.
Sorry, I had to do it.
But I make all my colleagues that come with me try it first.
Actually, milt is amazing.
Yeah, no.
Whenever I give it to people, I don't tell them what it is.
That's the first thing I do. First thing I order and watch their face.
Actually, I'm probably kind of the same way you are. I've had the rotten shark in Iceland, and I've had dorian fruit in Thailand.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
The worst thing I've ever eaten is I was at my favorite Japanese restaurant, which is Kyoya. It's like a Michelin star restaurant in the East Village, and it's you can walk by it 100 times. It only seats 20 people. Nice. But the chef Sano gave me it was my birthday. My business partner took me there for my birthday, and he's like, "Oh, this is very special." And it was like a very small amount of sea cucumber liver.
Yeah,
I ate one bite of it, and I think I had like some sort of like weird allergic reaction. Like I had trouble breathing, and I felt like I was going to puke. But it was. I think the only thing I've ever had that was like, I would never eat this ever again.
Yeah, I had it in Korea, actually, sea cucumber sashimi. Oh, yeah. And I don't need to have it again.
Did you have the liver?
Not this, the liver.
This was only the liver. I've had sea cucumber and I don't like that that much, but this only the liver. So think about the sea cucumber meat and then the thing that filters all of that shit out of it.
Delicious. Yummy, yummy. I mean, but that's the part of exploring Japan. Yeah, you have to have the bad to find the good. And, and that's the fun part of it, I think. If someone eats it, I think you've got to try.
Of course. Somewhere. But how about bugs? Have you tried bugs before?
Yeah. I've got a packet of dried cockroaches in my development kitchen.
Really?
Back in London, But I make sure all the new starters try one first.
Yeah. I've actually I don't know if anybody else has done it, but I always say it wrong. Chipolinas? Chipolinas, it's the little fried crickets from Mexico. So actually, whenever I can find those, I find them, and then I do like a gunkan, like the stuffed sushi.
Well, in Tsukishima in Tokyo, they actually, that's one of the areas that are famous for crickets.
Really?
Yeah, it's sort of died out a little bit. There's a street that does monjayaki, so the wet okonomiyaki, and that area is for wet okonomiyaki and also for the crickets.
Really?
So, I mean, obviously nowadays it's not so common, but you can down that street, you can get it. Yeah.
Shout out to my very good friend Chef Don Peavy. He has a show, an internet show called Bugging Out. It's like about a 10-part series. We actually had him on here a few months ago, but he actually does a show dedicated to I don't know what the word is, epimology. It's the act of eating, cooking, and eating bugs.
Well, it's the future.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we read.
Exactly. Yeah, for those who live.
We don't actually serve any bugs or any of the weirder things.
Yeah, but we don't either. We do it once in a while. It's you don't want to be associated with the you know the place where they serve cockroaches. Yeah, not so good in New York. Yeah. See what these there's two gentlemen next to us that are eating olives. I see.
Nice. Maybe they want some soup.
Yeah, absolutely. Hand it through the window.
Come through.
Well, it's been really nice talking to you, man. So where can they find you online?
So we're on Yosushi USA on Facebook and also on Instagram.
And
Twitter.
Yeah, and you're on 23rd and
23rd and 5th.
23rd and 5th.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks, Michael Caine. Thanks, Michael Caine.
Jolly good.
Well, 23rd and 5th. I love it. So it'll literally be open to the public tomorrow.
It's tomorrow, 11 o'clock. We've got the restaurant to eat in. We've got the grab and go to eat out. And we've got that extensive menu plus the drinks menu.
And oddly enough, in this New York climate, most importantly, you guys can be found on Uber Eats and Seamless and Grubhub.
We're going to launch first.
My God, it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Wait 5 hours. No. Dude, it's been so fucking convenient. Yeah. Thank you guys and have a good day.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening. Sunshine through the rain. You are the drug that cures my